Well, good evening, everyone. I would like to call this meeting to order, the February 9th, 2021 Planning Commission meeting for the City of Black Diamond. Welcome, everyone. Would you please join me with the flag salute? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right. Well, I think what's appropriate now, Karina, is to do a roll call.
Okay. Commissioner LeConte?
Present.
Commissioner Jensen?
Present.
Commissioner Perez?
Present.
Commissioner and Chair McCain?
Present.
Commissioner Wheatfall?
Present.
Commissioner Amber?
Here.
Commissioner Olson?
Present.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone. And next, Ms. Davis, I understand we have an introduction for our two newest planning commissioners.
Yes, I would like to introduce Felicia Wheatfall and Crystal, there you are, Crystal Perez, as our two newest planning commissioners this evening, and we're very delighted to have them here.
Excellent, thank you. How about are you going to speak for them, or are they going to have a moment to introduce themselves?
Well, I think it would be good to have them introduce themselves. Felicia, would you like to go first?
Sure. My name is Dr. Felicia Wheatfall. I originally moved to Black Diamond in 2019, but I'm originally from Portland, Oregon, native of the Pacific Northwest. My background includes a master's in public policy from Portland State University and a doctorate in social work from the University of Southern California. I'm really excited to become more deeply involved in the City of Black Diamond and playing a role in this planning commission. I'm excited to learn more from each of you and more about our community and to help where I can.
Great. Excellent. And Crystal?
So hello, everybody. My name is Crystal Perez. My credentials are that I have a master's in education. I previously used to work in educational counseling back in California. I moved to Black Diamond with my family in 2019. I'm a SoCal native. I'm really excited about, just like Felicia said, getting to know more about my community. I do have two small children, 2 and 3, and I'm expecting, I'm due in April. So I have a lot of input as far as, having small kids and those types of things and what we would, potentially be able to have moving forward in our community.
Great. Welcome. We're really grateful to have you. So thank you so much. Well, we're going to do just a little bit of housekeeping, just kind of reminding everybody of what our role is here at the city. And if you would just bear with me, I'm just going to read it from our policy and procedures book so we all have a little clearer idea. The Planning Commission is a 7-member volunteer body appointed by the mayor and confirmed by the City Council. The commission meets on the next Tuesday following the first city council meeting of each month. The planning commission's role is to promote and coordinate comprehensive long-range planning, growth management, transportation, and environmental protection. The planning commission serves in an advisory role to the city council and makes decisions in the form of recommendations to the council for its consideration, whether a recommendation to approve or deny. So just for the record, that's just a nice reminder. Again, we're just welcome to have new voices. I love that you all have a varied perspective, be it your age and children at home and all those struggles. And excellent, very excited. We're going to move next to the approval of the minutes of the January 12th meeting. A reminder, here in the city, we take what's called action minutes versus discussion minutes of all the meetings. And they're a more abbreviated form. You'll find, all of us commissioners have found this, a lot of times information that passes back and forth at a council or at a planning commission meeting is fast. And one thing we have to be more careful of, as evidenced by a little bit of confusion that we had for this last month's meeting minutes, is we need to introduce ourselves before we speak. So as an example, I'd say, this is Chair McCain and this is my statement. It's really hard to remember to do. We're gonna gently remind each other to identify ourselves, but you'll notice, and even being able to see someone's face, a lot of times you're just not able to, you know, not everybody has their camera on it, so it's hard to track. So anyhow, the approval of the minutes, I'd like to ask Commissioner Olson, did you want to chime in at this point in time and kind of explain your wisdom and your excellent recall involved right. in the minutes of last month?
So then, Commissioner Olson, there's a couple items that we just need to update, and then one that I guess we need to have a conversation about. The first edit is, let me look in my packet because I have it on a different format. The first edit is on the second page at the top, and it's striking vote motion passed 5-0 because that did not occur.
Okay.
The second one is at the bottom of the page under, at the bottom of the page there, we're striking with the included amendment insert to the December 8th, 2020 minutes, because that did not occur.
All right, great. The commissioners, have you had,
There's a couple more, Chairman McKinn.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're adding under Commissioner Amber in the second to last paragraph, we're adding amended his after Amber. We're changing the word motioned to motion, and we're adding the words include to after to and before amend in the same sentence. Farther down in the same paragraph, we're removing as after option, adding on the A, on the, and removing A. And then the only other comment I have was the middle portion of that same page, where it speaks about Barb Kincaid gave an overview. I was just confused on that. If everybody else is fine with that, I really don't care. We can leave it. And that's it.
All right, is there any more consideration from other commissioners as to parts in the minutes of that meeting that need to be discussed or clarified, or?
This is Commissioner Amber. Can Commissioner Olson go over that just one more time? I didn't quite follow you on your first thing. You said at the top of the page, something was changed.
Yeah, Commissioner Olson. So when you made your motion, you began making a motion, and then I seconded that motion, but it did not go to vote. We had further discussion on it, and then you reamended your motion to include that second part there, the first sub bullet point to state lowering the level of service. So you added that to your original motion. So basically I was just adjusting the words to represent that, because this version said that we voted and passed it, and that didn't occur.
Let's see. But we did pass a motion that residential units wouldn't be in community commercial zones.
So in regards to the meeting minutes and the motion that you made on January 12th, I believe is the date, that did not pass. But you are correct that the items that we spoke about did pass in December.
Yeah, I'm looking at the January 12th minutes, right?
Commissioner Amber, do you have the draft copy of, because there were corrections that were made to those January 12th minutes, and you should have gotten a new copy.
I don't know. I'm not looking at a draft copy of the minutes. January 12th, 2021.
Chairman McKean, Karina, would it be possible to share that Word document I sent to better describe, I guess, what I was suggesting?
Yeah, give me a second, please. Let me find it here.
Karina, are you still searching that?
I am here. Yeah, I didn't have it saved, so.
Oh, no worries. I just wanted to make sure we didn't have a technical glitch.
And this is Mona. What are we looking for? What copy of the minutes? The December 8th version?
And Commissioner Amber, no, I don't think, well, not what I'm looking. I'm looking at the January 12th meeting, and it's, Section 2B, that's where I think John was talking about.
Commissioner Olson, we're looking for, I had sent the corrections earlier today in an email on a Word document, and I think it would help Commissioner Amber show what edits I was proposing.
Is that, Commissioner Amber, is that a file that I would have gotten that I just didn't see?
No.
Chairman McCain, I do believe, Commissioner Olson, the format that you did send that over in was much easier to understand. So we'll give Karina a few more minutes to find that because it's complex and I just want to make sure we can all have the same info. All right.
Okay, do you guys see that?
So Commissioner Olson, do you want to walk Dave through this?
Okay.
Would you mind restating it just one more time?
Okay. Sure. Commissioner Olson. So Commissioner Amber had originally motioned to change page 2, bullet point under the second paragraph on the community commercial section of the plan to say residential units shall not be allowed, because that's what we had done the prior meeting. I seconded that motion, but we did not vote on it. And here it says we did. And so we're striking that. We continued the conversation and we went into the Appendix 7 transportation conversation. And then we were about to make another motion, but we remembered that Commissioner Amber had made the original motion. So Commissioner Amber amended his original motion and added the transportation appendix section that we spoke about. That motion then went to a vote. It was seconded, went to a vote, and it failed. So this just edits that to show what happened. Everything but the pink portion there.
Commissioner Amber, does that answer your question?
Well, but let's see. Yeah, but that motion that I made was out there, and I remember Commissioner Olson said, well, we've got a motion on the floor that we have to vote on, and I thought we voted on it.
Commissioner Jensen, yes, we did eventually vote on it. Not at that first point, but later after a discussion, we did vote on it, and it did not pass. I do recall that.
But that was the level of service motion. This is the residential units in community commercial motion.
Chairman McCain, so Commissioner Amber, Karina was working on this for 3 or 4 hours today and went back and re-listened to the audio several times, had someone else listen, so she could verify that. These changes do reflect what was on the audio version.
Okay, I thought I listened. Oh, I know I listened to it yesterday. I thought that was on there. All right.
Commissioner Olson, so while we have this on the screen here, the pink part is what I was referring to about that statement. The other portion of it, it doesn't really have to do with accuracy, just communication.
Does that make sense, Commissioner Amber?
That we're striking all that pink stuff with Barbara Kincaid is being stricken?
Yeah, because Ms. Kincaid wasn't part of that meeting. All right, so were there any other issues that we need to discuss so that we all have a good interpretation of the minutes of that meeting? It was confusing. I do appreciate the attention to detail that has been inserted at this point in time. If everyone is satisfied, I would entertain a motion to accept this audited version of the January 12th, 2021 meeting minutes.
Commissioner Jensen, I would move that we accept the minutes as corrected. I believe that's the right term we want to use.
Good. We have a second?
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that we approve these presented minutes from the January 12th, 2021 meeting. All those in favor. And one thing on our votes now, I've been asked because of the issues that we have with coordinating voice to the verbal that we go ahead and state our name. So it would be Chair McCain, and I'm going to vote yes to approve. So if we could do that, commissioners, we're going to try it out and see if we can't make this feel more acceptable and keep it clear for the record.
Commissioner Olson, so will there be a roll call or will we just inject ourselves?
We're just, as what we've discussed previously, we're just going to just so you'd be Commissioner Olson. My vote is
Commissioner Olson, yes.
Commissioner Jensen, yes.
Commissioner Perez, yes.
Commissioner Wheatfall, yes.
Commissioner Amber, yes.
Yes.
And Commissioner Eckbert?
He's no longer.
Oh, I.
His term.
I know, I didn't mean Eckbert. I meant LaConte.
I thought I heard him say yes.
Did everybody hear that?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. The vote has passed, and we will accept these minutes as the corrected or as the correct meeting minutes for the January 12, 2021. Thank you, commissioners. All right. So at this point in time, we would like to entertain any public comments. If anyone would like to make any comments to the Planning Commission, we would ask that they do that now. Please cite your name and city for the record.
Hello, this is Kristen.
I'm sorry?
This is Kristen Bryant. Can
and
I
use in your city?
And
you're frozen, Kristen.
Maybe I'm frozen. Well, I still see Karina's screen, so it might be me that's frozen.
Can you still see my picture?
I see Pam and I see Karina's screen share of the minutes.
Commissioner Olson, yeah, Karina, you may want to unshare yet.
All right, calling for a public comment. Please state your name and your city for the record.
Okay. Oh, now I think you can see me now. My name's Kristen Bryant, and I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. And tonight, I sent the commission an email ahead of time, and I won't go through the entire email, partly because I'm actually having internet issues, and I was enjoying the fascinating discussion about the minutes while I was trying to figure out why my email wasn't loading correctly. So, but you guys have that message, and I actually really appreciate the conversation about getting the minutes correct. I think that's really important. So, one of the things that I wanted to mention before I talk about the Housing Action Plan was on December 8th, you guys were just referring to that as you discussed the minutes, there was the discussion of the comprehensive plan update for 2020 based on the public hearing and Planning Commission input. And there were some changes that the Planning Commission discussed on and that are in the December 8th minutes, but I've been waiting to see where the copy of the actual comprehensive plan is and when it will come out with those changes in it. And I can't find that it's available anywhere. So that's comment one is asking when that will be available. And then the second thing is the Housing Action Plan that you're going to discuss tonight does address some concerns about low-income housing and some other housing options for people who are, you know, not at the higher end of the income spectrum. And a lot of the data in that, the discussion talks about home sales in 2020, which were new home sales in Black Diamond, a lot of them. And as you know, 2020 was a bit of an unusual year with very low interest rates and brisk home sales across the country. I would encourage you to really consider whether you want to make a long-term plan based on that data. And also something that wasn't really addressed in the plan was how much housing is really coming to Black Diamond and how significant it is for the community of Black Diamond, especially when you look at our the foothills type location in the region. And it may be really important to look at all sides of adding even more housing and whether that's appropriate. And I sent an attachment that some of you may have opened where it basically tried to summarize that job growth is predicted to be added along with the 10 Trails Master Plan development. Their hope is to add half a job per every household that they do add so that there will be jobs in Black Diamond. That's a high ratio. That's going to be difficult, especially with retail as it is not being, you know, we've got retail stores closing across the country and so it remains to be seen. But if they were to do that, it doesn't mean that you would solve your traffic issues. And that's what I had sent something that wanted to illustrate that, that there's if you had 6,000 houses and even if half of those people work in town, half of them then don't. And you're talking about 3,000 peak hour trips on the little tiny roads in and out of Black Diamond and around through Black Diamond. So transportation is just a huge, huge issue. And whether it's equitable for, you know, lower income housing to be in an area where long commutes to a lot of economic opportunity is available is something to consider as well. Thank you. And I'd be happy to follow up because I know you have a huge topic tonight on this plan.
Thank you, Ms. Bryant. Is there any other public that would like to address the Planning Commission at this time? If so, please state your name and city for the record. All right, one last call for that public comment. We would love to hear from you. Your name and city for the record is appreciated. Hearing none, we're gonna move to our next agenda item. And that is the election of the chair and the vice chair. Currently, I'm the chair. Commissioner Olson is your vice chair. And we'll be looking every year we nominate a new chair and vice chair. I'm going to just take something out of our a city handbook and just read it over for all of our benefit and for the new people, certainly. So the duties of the chair is to preside at all meetings, to call special meetings if of the Planning Commission if needed, to sign documents on behalf of the Planning Commission, to appoint Planning Commission members to serve on other city committees, advisory groups, and task forces when requested to do so by the City Council, to create temporary committees of one or more members, to the chair shall be considered as a member of the commission and have full right to have his or her own vote recorded in all deliberations. Unless otherwise stated, the chair's vote shall be considered to be affirmative for the motion. The duties of the vice chair is during the absence of the chair or upon request of the chair, the vice chair shall exercise all the duties and be subject to all the responsibilities of the chair. So at this point in time, I would like to accept your nominations for a vice chair for this year's Planning Commission.
This is Commissioner Amber. I'll nominate myself for vice chair.
All right. Commissioner Amber, are there any other nominations for vice chair?
Commissioner Olson, I'd gladly continue if you'd want me to.
All right. So we have two nominations for vice chair.
All right, Commissioner Amber, what if we want to nominate Commissioner Olson for chair? And he's elected vice chair.
Well, I think we have to just take one at a time. Commissioner Olson, do you have any other parliamentary, you and I were the only ones here at the last election. That are still here, I'm referring to staff. What is the process of, at this point in time? Do we call for votes for each person? I don't recall. Do you happen to recall?
So if I do recall, I believe it has to be nominated and seconded and then voted like everything else.
All right. And do you remember the process in this particular sense when there are two commissioners running for the same or nominated for the same position?
Well, I think it would be beneficial if we had another commissioner nominate a separate commissioner. And then we could see if there was a second on that.
All right. I'm really a little bit confused as to how to do the vote on this. I don't remember how we did it. I would entertain a motion. Is that true? To appoint?
Right. Yeah. So Commissioner Olson. So one of the other commissioners besides Commissioner Amber or myself would motion to nominate somebody, one of the commissioners, to the vice chair position. That would be seconded and then voted on. And if there are more than one, I assume that we would vote until we got, you know, two people can't win, right?
Correct.
So if the majority voted a person in, then there wouldn't be another reason for another vote.
Commissioner Amber, I thought how we did this years ago was
pulled straws.
Rock, paper, scissors. I thought we just had the names out there and then all the commissioners just voted on who they wanted.
Well, you're right in the aspect that we had a conversation and then we went to a vote because we all came to the agreement, but we don't have much of a conversation going on here with the other commissioners. Commissioner Jensen or any other commissioner have any input?
I don't.
All right, John, rock, paper, scissors.
It's the Zoom environment does pose some challenges. So I guess what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask one of the unnamed, another commissioner to make a motion I am confused as to how to do this with two. Karina, do you have any input?
Pam, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but I can provide a Roberts rule thing. I've used it before. If it would help. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
So I believe that the point of order was that when the first commissioner made a nomination, which was Mr. Amber, rather than calling for other nominations, the call would have been, does anyone second the nomination? And at that point, the commission, if there's a second, then it can be discussed and voted. Somebody could then say, you know, I actually want to ask to withdraw, if, you know, nominate someone else, so I'm going to vote no. And that's the way you would proceed. But I think that it's the first nomination is the motion on the floor.
Okay, so I guess Commissioner Amber, I guess I would motion to nominate myself for vice chair.
You know, this Chairman McCain here, and I do apologize for the confusion. I think what I would feel most comfortable doing with just beg everybody's indulgence and put this off till next month. It really is, I think it's important that we have a chair and a vice chair, and I really want to do it right. And I just have the feeling that perhaps I'm not ready to help lead you to the right way to do this. Could I have somebody make a motion from the floor that we put this off until our March meeting?
Commissioner Jensen, I would move that we postpone the nominations and election of chair and vice chair until our regularly held meeting in March.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to move the election of officers to next month. All those in favor, signify your name and your yay or nay.
Commissioner Jensen, yes.
Commissioner Olson, yes.
Chairman McCain, yes.
Yes.
Amber, yes.
Commissioner Perez, yes.
Commissioner Perez, yes.
Commissioner Amber, and I guess I have to withdraw my motion then. So my motion to nominate myself is now withdrawn.
It wasn't Commissioner Jensen. It wasn't seconded, so it didn't go forward.
Okay.
Mr. Olson, you made a nomination, not a motion.
Thank you for the clarification, Commissioner Olson. So it's been moved and seconded and voted on in the affirmative that we will schedule our nomination of officers for our March business meeting. Thank you, commissioners. All right. Next, I think we'll turn this over to the city, Ms. Davis. It looks like you're in charge of these next couple of agenda items.
Okay, thank you, Chair. This is Mona Davis, Director of Community Development. I would like to introduce Eric Jensen this evening. He's going to be giving an overview on the PROS plan along with Chris Peterson. And we'll start with that and then we'll move on to the Housing Action Plan after that.
Thanks, Mona. So just to clarify, we did have a small discussion about this at the last meeting, and with the new Planning Commission members here tonight, this is a good chance to give a little more detail to the purpose and the process of the PROS plan effort tonight. So alongside me tonight is Chris Peterson, our senior landscape architect. He is going to be participating in the work along with Leanne and Chase, who you'll hear from later about the Housing Action Plan. We will all be working together on this large effort alongside yourselves. So with that, I just want to finish out the introductions by saying that our effort from our Blue Line staff is a combination of planners and landscape architects due to the nature of the work. And we're really pleased to work with you folks on this. So I will hand it over to Chris and jump in if and when needed during the outline. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Eric. This is Chris Peterson with Blue Line. So what I would like to do is just give you a very brief overview of the PROS plan, beginning with what is a PROS plan. So a PROS plan is basically a comprehensive look at the city's parks, recreation, open space, and trails environment over a 20-year horizon. It includes evaluating existing conditions, identifying solutions for improvements, and adapting to growth in the community. One key element of that is a 6-year capital improvement plan, which prioritizes the needful capital improvements, as well as determines likely funding sources and cost estimates in that next 6-year period. The purpose of the PROS plan is essentially to update the existing 2008 PROS plan. And that would include a number of components, establishing the city's vision for parks and open space, revising the previously established goals and objectives, updating the city's priorities for parks and open space, evaluating city recreational programming needs and growth, providing implementation strategies, identifying existing park facility deficiencies and underserved neighborhoods. It would serve as a strategic planning exercise for the city's decision-making process. And then finally, adopting a PROS plan establishes eligibility for applying to all park-related grant programs. For example, the plan update has to meet Washington State Recreation and Conservation Office planning requirements. The PROS plan will include community outreach, which is really a key part of the PROS plan. And so we've identified a few methods for soliciting public participation. And the main groups we would be looking to would be key stakeholders and the general public. And in regard to key stakeholders, we would very much be interested in hearing if the Planning Commission has input on identifying who some of those key stakeholder groups and or individuals might be in the community. Our three outreach methods include surveys, and that would include online surveys as well as mailings included with utility bill inserts or as utility bill inserts, and then separate mailings for community residents around Lake Sawyer who are not served by the city's utility services. And we would also appreciate the Planning Commission's input as to the specific survey questions. Secondly, in addition to the surveys, we would hold virtual meetings, and we would have separate meetings for the key stakeholders and the general public. And then the third opportunity for outreach is really just the opportunity to present for the public, to present testimony and feedback at public hearings. And then as far as the timing on this effort, the outreach effort would begin after completion of the Housing Action Plan public outreach phase, so as not to overwhelm the public with too many outreach efforts going on concurrently. The timeline for the proposed plan, we would estimate about 6 months to complete it, basically from now until around July or August. Proposed plan updates typically take about 4 to 12 months, depending on the size of the city and the scale of the park environment. And then the last part of the effort would be city review and adoption by both the Planning Commission and the City Council. So that's a quick overview, and again, just to recap, a couple of items that we would very much appreciate your input on would be the survey questions and identification of key stakeholders. Thank you.
Great. Ms. Davis, do you have something to add to that?
You're muted, Mona.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm talking away. No, I don't have anything else to add at this time other than we want to make sure that we are thoughtful in not overwhelming our community with surveys. And we are getting some good responses back on the housing survey, and I'll talk to that later. But yeah, so we're thinking maybe the PROS plan survey would launch sometime maybe in April. So,
Chairman McCain, I have a question. So does the PROS plan, does it cover the regional park that is in the city of Black Diamond, or which parks specifically? We don't have that many here in the city. Maybe you could enlighten us all a little bit on that.
Yeah, if I may, it will include an evaluation and inventory of all area recreational facilities and services specifically within the city boundaries, but we'll also recognize regional services that Black Diamond residents enjoy. When we establish our level of service needs for parks and recreation improvements, whether they be facility improvements or bringing programming on, that level of service standards will be based on the city limits and the facilities and features within the city limits. So that's kind of a twofold way to answer that question as far as how we'll go forward.
This Chairman McCain again, just another question. So the regional park facility that's on Lake Sawyer Road, will that be part of the park that's being parks that are being considered?
So if I understand, the Lake Sawyer Park facility is within the city limits, correct?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then it will be, yes.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. So we are just getting started with our work on evaluating existing facilities, existing conditions, and determining service needs. And so as a result, we're becoming familiar with the city's recreational environment. So if I don't sound like an expert tonight, trust us, we'll be much further down the road next time we have this conversation. We are just getting started.
Excuse me, am I okay to talk, Pam?
You know, Brock, we need to probably put that to the public comments at the end, but we have that on the agenda. So I think you'll need to hold for that.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. All right, Mona, do you have, is there anything else that you'd like to add, or do you want to move right into the 2021 work plan, or how would you like to go? How would you like to approach this next?
Yeah, I don't have anything else to add right now on the PROS plan. We just wanted to do a nice introduction for you all tonight to let you know it was coming. And I certainly appreciate Eric and Chris's presentation this evening to just give everybody a heads up what is to be expected in the coming months. So we'll look more forward to that. I did want to touch base on the 2021 work plan. We have an open docket period. We will be sending out another advertisement next week to remind people that the docket period is open until March 1st. We got a bit of a discussion on that last week at last week's city council meeting. And so we're hearing some feedback around what kinds of things we should have on our work plan to discuss in the coming year. And so I just wanted to send out a reminder that that period is still open, and we're looking forward to receiving people's comments on that.
Commissioner Amburn, is there an online spot on the city website that they submit those, or how should people submit things to the comp plan amendments?
Those can come in directly to me. And I believe it says that in the code and on the website and in the add to the paper. Let me double check that really quick just to be on the safe side. Sorry about that. I was going to pull up the ad in the paper to see. Sorry, my for some reason my computer is running really slow.
So it's walking?
It's running slow. It's walking, that's right, yes. Okay, so it does say that there is information on the website, and it says that the deadline for privately initiated applications should be returned to me, and it provides for my email address.
Okay.
I'd be happy to forward you that ad that we put in the paper, the publication in the paper, if you'd find it helpful.
I'm sorry, that's in the Voice of the Valley, right? Still? Or did they change that?
I believe it's in, Karina, can you help me know which paper we put that in?
Yes, that's the Courier Herald.
Courier
Herald. Which got changed sometime last year, I believe.
Okay, Mona, if you could send me a copy of that, that'd be nice.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Yes, that would be great. And again, it's just, we want to be advocates for public participation. So this will just help that along. So with the next agenda item we're going to move to is the unfinished business. Mona, I think this is your category two, an update on the housing plan.
Well, so actually, I've invited Leanne and Chase to come back this evening from Blue Line. They provided a draft plan in your packet for you to look at. And I do want to emphasize that it's a very rough draft. These numbers are not even final yet. We just wanted to at least get something out there for people to see and understand what the Housing Needs Assessment and Housing Action Plan was going to entail. So with that, Eric, do you want to speak to this or should we just turn it straight over to Leanne and Chase?
Oh, we should definitely hand it straight to Leanne and Chase to present. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Leanne and Chase, good to see you both tonight. If you'd like to talk a little bit about the draft housing action plan and needs assessment, that would be really helpful.
Yeah. So we just have kind of a hopefully brief presentation. I know everyone has lives they want to get on with tonight. We really, really wanted to engage the Planning Commission on this draft and as well as the public comments that are coming in. So we wanted to give you an update. So last meeting, I briefly introduced you all to the Housing Action Plan project we started last year with Black Diamond and Barb, funded through HB 1923, which Chase will kind of discuss here in a little bit. So we'll quickly run through some of the highlights again, just in case we have any new meeting attendees. But I'd also like to introduce Chase. He's my coworker who's been working on the project. So he's gonna talk a little bit about the House bill that the project is funded by.
Hello. My name is Chase Killebrew. I work at Blue Line with Leanne and Eric and Chris. And so tonight we're just gonna give a brief overview of the Housing Action Plan work we've been doing. So first I just wanna mention that this work was made possible by House Bill 1923. So that passed in the spring of 2019. It became effective in July of 2019. And it was passed to encourage cities in Washington to increase residential building capacity and regulatory streamlining. It also encourages cities to prioritize the creation or preservation of affordable, inclusive neighborhoods and to consider the risk of displacement. So HB 1923 allocated $5 million in grant assistance, and cities could either receive up to $50,000 or $100,000 depending on their population size, with 20,000 people being the threshold number. So to receive the funds, cities had to commit to implementing at least two of the eligible actions from a menu of 12 like policy and code changes, or they could develop a housing action plan. So early last year, we applied for funding on the city's behalf and received $50,000 to write a housing action plan. So the grant is performance-based and the city must adopt the housing action plan by June 30th of this year to receive the full amount. And now Leanne's going to talk a little bit about the work we've been doing.
So when we first sat down with Barb to discuss the project, she was mostly interested in the housing needs assessment component of the Housing Action Plan. At that point in time, the MPD units were starting to come online, and she was concerned about what that meant for affordability in Black Diamond. So the goal was to capture a snapshot of Black Diamond prior to the build out to understand, you know, the full effects of the MPD implementation later down the road. So the housing needs assessment primarily uses data up until 2018 to get a pre-MPD snapshot of the community profile. And moving forward, the idea would be to perform this same assessment again in say 10 or 15 years when the build out is complete to really understand the impacts, good and bad, and the changes within the community. So as I discussed in the last meeting, the housing needs assessment was submitted to Commerce in December for review. However, in order to receive the grant funding, cities have to develop the housing action plan component in addition to performing the needs assessment. So while we have kind of, you know, what Barb's intentions were, we still have to finish the second part of the project to receive the full funding. So we provided you with the first draft of that, of what it could look like. But as Mona mentioned, it's a very rough draft. We wanted to engage you as soon as possible. And we still have a lot of input to incorporate as well. So we just wanted to start that process. So we wanted to get you a draft as soon as possible. So again, it's the first draft. There's a ton of work to be done on it. We want your feedback. We want to see the survey feedback that went out with the utility bills. And incorporate that as much as possible. And one thing I wanted to note is this document shouldn't be interpreted as a charge to build more housing now. It's more about monitoring the changes that occur and building a toolbox to reference for when the time does come to maybe implement policies to help increase affordability and opportunity for a broader spectrum of households. So we'll kind of move through the Housing Action Plan as quickly as possible. We're not gonna go over every single detail of it. I hope you all have been able to review it, and if not, you'll have time in the coming weeks and months. So one of the major themes, as I said before, is monitoring. That's why it's the first objective. It recommends annual monitoring for housing development and the demographic data as it changes, utilizing the spreadsheets that we created for the housing needs assessment. That should make that annual process really simple and not require a lot of staff time and effort, because we know staff is super busy. So another recommended action is fostering partnerships with neighboring cities and towns, making sure that shared interests between them are identified and prioritized. I know Mona's actively been working on or engaging in many discussions with King County and neighboring cities about the new growth targets. So continuing and expanding upon those efforts are a great way to tackle the complex issues, especially like transportation infrastructure, which we know is a huge concern for mostly the whole region, but also Black Diamond as well. The draft also recommends aligning city policy documents, making sure that when land use changes are considered, that say the capital facilities plan supports the change. Making sure the comprehensive plan is updated on time. And I think it's every 8 years they have to be updated, but maybe engaging in an annual update might be a good idea as the situation in Black Diamond continues to evolve. And then part of the monitoring objective is a recommendation to conduct a risk assessment, which could just provide more detailed information to make really targeted policy implementations to help protect the most, to help identify and protect the most vulnerable to displacement. So that's kind of the monitoring component of it. And again, that is the major theme, is that we really just want to continue, you know, monitoring the changing situation as the MPDs are implemented. So Chase will kind of talk about the other two and then we'll move on.
All right, yes. Yeah, so yeah, so Leanne started out with the first strategic objective, the monitoring, and then now I'll just briefly talk about the second and third strategic objective. And these are the objectives that, yes, while like they're obviously in draft form right now, these are important, but that first strategic objective is the one that we have really focused on so far. And then these other two are gonna be the ones that we flesh out a little further as we get the draft more developed. So the second strategic objective is to increase housing diversity and preserve community. So this objective prioritizes preserving the rural town, small town feel of Black Diamond, as well as ensuring existing residents continue to live in high quality homes that they can afford. It also encourages Black Diamond to increase its housing supply diversity and make the development of affordable housing more feasible. Based on our 2018 baseline numbers that are in the housing needs assessment, the overwhelming majority of the current housing stock in Black Diamond is single family residential. We know that MPDs will change this makeup, which will ensure the housing stock can meet the needs of households of varying sizes and incomes. And we just believe that this trend should continue, as this can help reduce the risk of displacement caused by the rising cost of a single family home. We also know there are residents of Black Diamond that want to preserve the city's rural small town feel. And so we've encouraged the city to come up with design standards that embody Black Diamond's character to ensure future development blends in with the existing fabric. So then the third and final strategic objective for now is to create opportunity. So this objective seeks to guide Black Diamond in addressing how it can leverage rising employment opportunities and increase investment to efficiently reinvest in more funding for infrastructure and more housing opportunities for current and future lower income households. So there are many value capture tools available in Washington State, and this objective just encourages the city to consider implementing a few of them. So this objective also suggests that the city should not allow people to be left behind or left out of the increased number of housing opportunities that are already available and will continue to become available in the city as it develops further. So that's our three strategic objectives. Leanne, is there anything else that you wanted to say?
No, I mean, that's just what we kind of wanted to throw out there at you, and hopefully we can connect further on your recommendations and feedback. We're really looking forward to receiving and reviewing all of the public comments that went out with the utility survey. And I don't, Mona, you mentioned that you might want to speak further on that.
Well, yes, this is Mona. I just wanted to say that, you know, we're getting a pretty good response back on the housing surveys, and they just went out, I think, late last week, maybe late the week before, now that I'm thinking of it, end of January. And we've got about 85 plus surveys returned so far. So we are collecting those and appreciate people getting those back to us. I'm thinking we need to have some kind of a hard deadline on when we take that survey data and incorporate it into the report. Do we have any idea, Leanne or Chase, when that might be? Like, when would you want to take the survey data and incorporate it? Like end of this month or middle of March? Or
I was thinking the end of February would be ideal. If some continue to trickle in for a couple weeks after that, then we'll still incorporate it. But yeah, I think we should make the deadline the end of February.
And this is Chairman McCain. It seems like this is really work that's calling for a work session. Perhaps we can dial in a work session. I think it's always great if we can include the council at that level. So Ms. Davis, if you could kind of, if you think that's appropriate or not, there's lots of information here. Hopefully all the commissioners looked at this briefly. It is attached to your agenda for this evening, but there is a lot of detail here. So perhaps we could schedule something together.
Okay, sure. This is Mona again. I'd be happy to look into that. I'd like to understand better if everybody's had a chance to look at that, and if you have comments that you would like to weigh in on now, and then there would be an ability to have like a more finalized draft version. I mean, will we do another final draft before it's finalized?
Commissioner Olson, one of the comments that was sent to us, public comments, was that it does not include estimates for including 10 trails. Is that correct?
That's something that we would like to work more closely on with Andy Williamson.
Yes.
Yeah, in getting any kind of updated information on the projected build out. I know we've heard that has changed over the years. This first draft uses what was readily available online in terms of numbers. So that's definitely something that's on our radar and we want to dig a little bit more into.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good. Like I said, this is just a very preliminary draft. We would welcome your comments. I think it would be good to get those comments in from the planning commissioners by the end of this month as well, so that we could tie your comments as well as the survey comments into the next draft.
This is Commissioner Weefall. I had a quick question. First, you said there was a survey sent with the utility bill. Was it the water bill? Or which utility bill was the survey sent with?
I believe it was the water bills, yes.
One concern I have with that methodology is the fact that I know personally I am paperless. So I pay online and I just checked my bill and I don't see any kind of attachment. So how are we reaching those who are not doing paper-based utility payments?
This is Mona, and that's a really excellent question. I didn't realize, it didn't occur to me that we had paperless bills. We mail many of our, like our newsletters and other things out in our utility payments. And then we also have a separate special mailing that goes out to people that are not on the city utilities. I never thought of there being a paperless billing system, but you bring up an excellent point. So we need to probably look into that.
Yeah.
I, you know, it will be easier when we get our website updated, if we're able to, you know, get a social media site and that type of thing. These kinds of surveys are going to be much easier to distribute to people and get the word out there.
Okay, that was my first question. And then I just got a copy of this packet, so I've done a high level overview. My comments won't have a lot of depth, but there was something that stuck out to me in the create opportunities to achieve objective 3, talking about creating opportunity for renters, and it goes deep into the impact of commute times. What I would hope to see in this analysis is the impact of COVID-19 and the fact that many employees have moved to remote work lifestyle, and how that approach and shift will impact this commuter study component of creating opportunity.
That's a great point, Commissioner Wheatfall. Thanks very much. The thing that I was looking at too, is there a due date on this housing action plan? I mean, if we have a due date, I think we can better set our calendars for the process.
Yeah, so it needs to be adopted by June 30th of this year, according to the contract with the city in Commerce.
Great, and this draft document, I mean, and you've been working on this. Chase, can you restate how long you were working with Ms. Kincaid on this. So you've been working on this plan for how long?
I guess we got started on the housing needs assessment back in the fall. That's right, Leanne. And we sent it to Barb October.
October, November, yeah.
Yeah.
The city applied, I think, early last year, but then COVID happened pretty quickly after that, and it kind of got benched. And then we started working on it. I think we, you know, the contract with Blue Line, I'm not sure, Eric maybe can say when that happened, but it was shortly after that we started working on.
Yeah, we did jump in at the second opportunity that the state allowed for the grant application period. The first one was last fall. We worked with Barb on the second phase that they made available back last winter. Once we got the money acquired for the city, then the city put out an RFP for planning services in general, including the housing action plan. So we went under contract after being solicited back in July, and then we got started in September upon Barb's direction to us at that time. So we've been working at that pace from there. It's a long process, but we've done a great job getting the housing needs assessment in place. And now we, as Mona said, we're in the early stages with the housing action plan.
Go ahead,
Leanne.
Black Diamond definitely fell a little bit behind in terms of HB 1923, just because of the time that the application was submitted and that they went through the second round of funding and then COVID happened. So it's just been kind of an ongoing obstacle. So definitely behind, you know, the count, but, and that's why it might feel a little bit rushed now, but that definitely wasn't the intention.
Oh, indeed. And I had just one more question, Mr. Chairman McCain. Is the format for this, is it a templated model like from PSRC? I guess my question is our housing action plan going to be very similar? I know Kent has already, I think they've finished their housing action plan. And was this original format, was it PSRC generated, or is it individual for each entity?
For the most part, it's quite original. Leanne and Chase have worked hard to put together a great tool that reflects a lot of knowledge and understanding and training that they've gone through this last year. I don't mean to talk over Leanne's answer, but I just wanted to put my kudos out there that it isn't just a template from Commerce that we just fill in the blank. It's very original, but let me have Leanne add to that.
Commerce did, or PSRC did, was it Commerce or PSRC, Chase? Came out with a
Commerce.
Yeah, Commerce came out with a guide that definitely has a lot of these tools in it, but you know, how those tools get adopted is, and each city has adopted or has chosen their own set of tools that works best for them. Certainly not a one size fits all scenario.
Well, I'm quite impressed. I mean, honestly, and just my first run through it, it looks like it's very well done, and looking forward to working with everybody on this and moving it forward with a, what is that, June 30th deadline?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Olson. I want to circle back to my first question. It sounded like the answer to that was we weren't sure if this estimate included 10 trails. So maybe Ms. Davis, I guess, how much time are we going to spend on this draft and then later find out that it's not the right draft? I don't want to do that. I know we're always behind. I've been on the Planning Commission a couple of years. Get used to it, right? Because that's where we're at. We're always behind. But with this project, I don't want to start behind again. So I want to know if we're going to have updated information for this. And if we're not, then if it doesn't include 10 trails, then that's kind of a big deal. Like, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would agree. This is Mona Davis. Yes, this information will be updated to include 10 trails. That was honestly an oversight on my part, just trying to catch up and, you know, learn what we were doing. And I just recently realized that the 10 trails team hadn't really even, you know, had a chance or opportunity to weigh in on this yet. So we will be working with them to get this more updated in the coming weeks and then hopefully have another draft to review. I think you're right. I think to your point, that's important because 10 trails is a big part of our city.
I've heard something about it, yeah.
Commissioner Wheatfall here. One of the things that I noticed in reviewing this, again, high level, is that it references duplexes, triplexes, and courtyard apartments and medium-scale units as the missing middle. And it talks about earnings that are related to that. My concern is that the paragraphs imply that these missing middle units are more times than not more affordable. And I've found firsthand that that is actually not the case. For example, my single family detached home sold for less than the townhomes across the street that are connected. So I want to be careful that when we're doing this analysis and we're looking at property types, that we actually focus in on the actual cost or the actual sales price, as opposed to just assuming and asserting that if it's a townhome, that it's going to be affordable.
That's an excellent point, Ms. Commissioner Wheatfall. We appreciate that. We will take that into consideration.
So I guess we'll be looking forward to additional leadership from you, Mona, as to putting a schedule together to do some pretty intense work on this plan in the near future.
Absolutely. Yes, we will follow up more next month with a hopefully a better timeline.
Great. So if we're finished with our unfinished business, we can move to the Community Development Department report. Would you like to add anything else, Ms. Davis?
Well, yes, actually, I wanted to circle back to the PROS plan and just remind the commissioners that we put a PROS plan survey in your packet. And though we don't need you to fill out the survey right now, we would like to get your input as to if you think the questions in that survey are adequate or if there are other questions that you would like to include in the survey. And we'd like to get that information back from you by the next meeting if possible. Other than that, I'll just kind of do a brief director's report. I wanted to mention that I did do a director's report at the city council meeting last week, and I just reported out on some of the things that our department was working on in an effort to keep people informed as to what we were doing and what was happening in the city and in community development in particular. We processed over 100 building permits in January and approximately 11 business licenses, and we've got about 15 active code violations that we're trying to work with people on. I also gave an update to them that we at the Planning Commission were working on the Housing Action Plan and gearing up to start working on the PROS plan. And then we talked a bit about the work plan, and that prompted some discussion around other things that they would like to see go on the work plan for consideration for this year. You know, we've got a lot of great ideas. It's just the staff and the resources that we, you know, the time that we can get through all of this year. So, but I, you know, I want to try to be thoughtful in how we evaluate that and really have some good discussions after the docket closes as to what we think we can get done this year. The comp plan update that Barb brought to you, I thought maybe I'd give you a quick update on that as well. So Barb brought that to you in December, December 1st and December 8th. And then we sent that out to Commerce for a 60-day review. And then we recently issued, well, we've issued SEPA on both the sensitive area ordinance as well as the comp plan amendments in order to become PSRC certified. And so that comment period is currently running now for the comp plan amendment. And then we anticipate that we will take that before the city council meeting in March for adoption and then to return back to the PSRC. So we did take a resolution before the council last week that basically says that the city will work with King County and try to have real numbers around our growth targets. And so we're working really closely with King County to make sure that we give an accurate reflection of what we're planning to, you know, what our growth looks like in both housing and jobs. And so as Leanne mentioned, that is one thing that, you know, we're trying to make sure we align on that. So other than that, I don't really have anything else at the moment, unless anybody has any questions of me that I could try to answer or get back to you on.
Commissioner Jensen, I just have a question about how you would like feedback on the PROS survey that you sent out. If you want feedback, do you want feedback now or how?
Well, this is Mona Davis. You certainly can give feedback at tonight's meeting, or you can send me an email and I'll make sure to get that back to Blue Line for incorporation into the survey.
Commissioner Jensen, as I reviewed it, it seemed quite thorough. As I was reading through it, I thought, oh, well, what about this? But by the time I got through the whole thing, you'd covered it all. So I thought it was well done.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Commissioner Olson, my only questions would be the format we're using, which would be the Google platform. And there are certain settings that within the survey system that would create people, have to create an account basically, right? And so I was just wondering if this is gonna be set up in a manner that a person could fill out the survey without creating a Google or Gmail account.
Yes, thank you for that question. This is Mona again. And yes, absolutely. We set it up in that format, but we plan to revise it and try to condense it down a little bit so we can get it down to a couple pages to fit into the utility billings. And well, we'll have to figure out how else we're going to distribute that. But we have a little bit of time because we don't anticipate that will go out till April. But yeah, no, that will be in a different format than Google. Most likely we will be sending out paper copies again, because I don't see that we have an alternative to do it electronically at this point.
Commissioner Olson, well, it actually is an alternative here with the Google Forms. You already have it set up on someone's Google Drive, and it would be pretty easy just to make that link available to people to fill out. The only thing is that if you are keeping track of who they are, or if you're, there are some requirements, there's 4 requirements within the document that require them to fill out an account, which I mean, probably 60%, I'm guessing, or more, have Gmail accounts. It wouldn't be that difficult, but it might be a great alternative for what Commissioner Wheatfall was talking about.
Commissioner Wheatfall here. In my experience, you could set up the form so that you don't have to have any kind of ties to Google or Gmail to fill it out. And then my second point would be, it'd be good to tag team it. So have two different approaches. One would be the paper approach via postal mail. The second would be a Google form. And then the third could potentially be a PDF or Word document that people could email back to the office.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that.
All right. It looks like there are some good options.
Okay, we will continue to evaluate that, and we'll get back to you.
Good, thank you. And commissioners, your agenda packet is extra large. It does include the draft housing action plan, plus the work plan. And I do think that it's all great material. If that was something that one of the commissioners wouldn't want to print on their own, Mona, could they come by and grab a printed copy that they could use as a work copy from the city?
Yes, this is Mona again. Absolutely, I'd be happy to print some of those copies off on our larger copy machine. If you could just give me like a day or two notice, I'll make sure that we can get that done.
Okay, Commissioner, so if you'd like to just pick one up at the city, we can just let Mona know. All right, is that all for you this evening?
Commissioner Wheatfall here. Mona, I've sent Mona an email asking for a Word doc version or PDF doc version via email. So that is another option.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Wheatfall, you sent me an email asking for a Word of the housing survey?
The survey, yes, a Word version or a PDF version via email.
Oh, okay. Okay, I can get that to you.
Commissioner Amber, I'd like a Word copy of it too, so I could, instead of what I've done is write in pen on every one of these pages, and now it's getting kind of sloppy to read. A Word document that I could edit would be great.
I just want to clarify, we're talking about the survey, the PROS plan survey. Okay.
Oh, I don't need that. I was talking about the housing action plan.
Okay, that's a copy. You know, it's about, it's probably about 50 pages, you know, color copies. That's what we were referring to. If you'd like to come by and pick up a copy of that at the city.
Commissioner Amber, is that
available? I don't think the survey can be in Word. It's a form.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the survey, can that housing action plan, and the housing, what was the other one? The housing needs assessment or something. Can that be distributed in a Word document that we could, edit or make comments on and stuff easier on a computer than with a pen?
Mona, if I could jump in real quick, just to preserve the original draft version, it might be better to have folks review and provide edits or comments on a PDF writer-based approach so that the main structure of the draft is established and then the comments can be included, overwritten with a PDF style approach. And then that way we can evaluate those comments and incorporate them where necessary or clarify folks' comments as needed. Otherwise, I believe the document itself, the original source document, would get quite unwieldy. But I want to defer to Leanna Chase for a response on their thoughts on whether or not that's the right avenue, if I could. I don't want to make sure I'm going down the wrong direction and they feel differently.
Well, let me interject if I could. This is Chairman McCain. I'm assuming from our conversation, we're going to have a work study on this. That would be the time, commissioners, we could take a look at this ahead of time, frame those questions, bring those questions up at the work study, have Mona then compartmentalize them, and then go to the next step. Does that seem reasonable, Ms. Davis?
I think that seems reasonable to go through it and make those comments during a work session. Does that seem reasonable to you, Eric?
Sure, it could be very reasonable. I believe it doesn't hurt to have someone's full effort in their comments on a document such as this, but I just think that maybe the approach might be particular to their comments alone on the document, as I stated. So certainly verbally going over this would be helpful, but I know some folks will have more comments, more in-depth comments, and more suggestions toward edits than maybe someone else. So I certainly wouldn't want to limit it too much, but like I said, it's what everybody's most comfortable with.
Commissioner Amber. I've gone over probably 3/4 of the housing needs assessment and 100% of the housing action plan. And I've just got notes everywhere on it that would be so much easier if I could have this on a computer, and it would be much more legible, and it would just be cleaner and reduce a lot of stalling and stuttering and stuff like that while I'm trying to figure out what I wrote.
Well, and that's a point well made, Ms. Chairman McCain. I think what we're going to do is we're going to take all those great thoughts and condense them into a work plan or a work study session and go from there. Does that seem reasonable, Mona?
Well, I mean, this is Mona. It sounds to me like we'd like to get the feedback before, so we can do another draft before we start going through it in a work session. So I'll work with Eric and Leanne tomorrow to figure out how best to get a copy of this so you can write on it and get us back comments on the document.
All right, Commissioner Amber, thanks. I'm not that technically gifted, and I can't make written comments on a PDF right now. I just don't have that capability. I can do Word documents.
Would it be something that you could just scan your written comments and send them to us, and we could try to go through and decipher?
You wouldn't be able to read them any easier than I could, and I wrote them.
I think
there's lots of them.
I think one of the benefits for all concerned is for you to be able to share all of your comments and suggested edits with the full group before anybody starts incorporating your suggested changes, so that there's buy-off on the majority, or if not the unanimous agreement of some of the edits that you'd propose. And so as a result, bring your suggested changes to a group setting, or at least a group review, I think is very important. So Mona, how we should do that is that it allows an open review and open discussion of all suggested changes before those are incorporated.
Commissioner okay. Amber, yeah, that's what I thought we were going to do tonight. So I was kind of ready to do that, but in another 3 or 4 weeks, it's going to be a challenge to decipher what I scribbled on all these things, which would be why it would be really nice to get this in an editable Word document that I could, just type nice and eat cleanly on it, and it could be easily read.
Okay, we'll see if we can get that somehow in a document that you could do some track changes in a Word document. It may not come with all of the graphics and everything that you see now, but I'll work with Blue Line to get something to you.
All right, thanks. Yeah, I don't need the graphics or anything like that.
We actually have both documents in Word. So it might not be as pretty, but we can certainly send those along.
Okay, this is Mona again. I'll work with Blue Line and we'll try to get those out soon.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great. Are you finished, Ms. Davis? Are we ready to move on?
I think I don't have anything more to add at the moment.
Excellent. Well, we're going to move to the next agenda item, which is additional public comment. I know there are some people, Brock, wishing to share. So please state your name and city for the record. If public comments, we'd like to hear from you now.
This is Brock Deedy from Black Diamond, if I'm good to go.
Yeah, you're ready.
Okay, so these comments are mostly for Blue Line. You're looking for contact names of people in the city for the parks and open space. So I run the Black Diamond Gym, the city gym. So I have some good feedback for you for people that use the gym and what kind of activities are available there. So you might be able to, if you want to, you can get a hold of me. And then I also wanted to comment, there's a group in Maple Valley, Covington called Recreate and Recreate. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're looking at replacing the swimming pool in Covington with a new facility. And they're going out to the citizens and they're doing surveys and they're doing public meetings and they got a committee and I'm on that committee to look at, you know, building a new recreational facility for that area. So one, they could be a good contact for you because they're kind of doing, sounds like they're doing the same kind of thing you're doing. And plus, if you want some feedback or input, I can also do that for that committee as well. So just want to put my name out there. If you have any questions or anything, you can contact me.
Thank you, Brock.
Yep.
Gosh, that's great, Brock. Well, you know, we certainly need some more recreational opportunities out here. So that's great to hear. Any other public comment? We'd like to hear from you now. Please state your name and city for the record. And our third call for public comment. Appreciate everybody who offered their comment tonight. I think at this point in time, I would entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting, Commissioner Olson.
All right, it's been moved. I have a second.
Commissioner Amber, I'll second that.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to adjourn this meeting. All those in favor, state your name and your vote for the record.
Commissioner Amber, yes.
Commissioner LeConte, yes.
Commissioner Wheatfall, yes.
Chairman McCain, yes.
Commissioner Perez, yes.
Commissioner Jensen, yes.
Commissioner Olson, yes.
All right. Thank you, commissioners. We are now adjourned. We'll look forward to seeing you soon.
See ya.